This is the show with the pressure and Frosty rocking through here. I am in Liverpool Street in London, England. You are in?
I'm in Tilehurst in Reading in my brand new dining room.
All right.
Enjoying the table.
Okay, fine. Yes. Fine. Well, good for you. I'm in my rented flat, so there you go.
They're back. The show with the pressure and Frosty.
This is my
Hello and welcome to the show. This is the February episode. Can you believe it? We're actually out of January, the longest month of the year, the Monday of the year. 5 Mondays in 1 month. Can you believe it? We did it.
At least one of them was a bank holiday though, eh?
Yeah, that is something, but to be honest, it was a long old month and I still can't quite believe we're out of it. You know, it just felt like forever. But it's good though. I feel like we've done January and it's February and everything's ready to go.
Oh, good. I like your optimism already. It sounds deluded as usual and sort of, you know, unfounded. And oh, hello, everything's going to be great. Have you thought about it? No, never mind. I like that side of you. So yeah, let's just run with it, eh?
And you're the other side of the coin. You're so cynical. You're so just...
Oh, come off
cynic.
It.
You're the cynic.
Here we go. As we go to press light here in the city of London. It's been fairly light here every day this week. 5:30 and beyond. There's still remnants of light on the horizon. So that's definitely a source of optimism. And there's probably a bit extra in the mornings as well. I don't know. I don't get up till well late.
Yeah, it's been great, actually. I'm going to give you a silver lining right at the start, right off the bat of the show, a silver lining. It's been so cold the past couple of weeks. It's been freezing cold, -4, -5. But with that cold, you get the clear skies. You get the beautiful sunsets, sunrises, purples, greens, blues. If you look closely enough, you can see all of the range of colours. And it is glorious to wake up to in the morning. So I welcome all of that.
And here we are with the show, coming at you alive on the 1st of February. We've said to ourselves and to you, dear listener, that we're going to do this show in advance each month so we can sort of look ahead and maybe set out our stall for the month ahead and then maybe reflect on what we've just done and what we've got through.
Well, that's right. Coming up in the show this week, we've got gadget news, we've got what gets your goat, and we are going to be catching up on our January promises. So to begin with, we started off with the bus journey chat at the start of last month's podcast. I love the idea of that. I'm not making excuses, but I do think it's more of a, you know, a summery vibe, isn't it, to go on a bus and on a country lane. I'd be well up for that. I've been very, very busy this month. It's been a very, very busy month.
Oh, stop it.
Hey,
you look like you've just come from school.
I have just come from school.
Well,
yeah.
Therefore, you're not busy because your desire in life is to be an actor. And if you're doing your second job, you're not busy, buddy.
Work is good. You got to work.
So I got the challenge. One of the challenges was to get on a random bus route and see where it goes. So
yeah.
You were too busy to do that, were you?
Yeah, far too busy to do that. Yeah, every single day, every evening, I've been busy.
I got on a random bus, although it said the destination, so I did know where I was going. It was a bus route that I'd never taken before, but it went through just some really sketchy areas, and I was in a really happy mood. Everyone on the bus was dysfunctional and a bit disgusting, and it kind of lived up to all my... I didn't have any expectations for it, but I knew it was going to be decrepit, and it sure was.
If you see it as an activity, like you're the tourist and you're observing others, then it's not so bad. You're not inside the filth, you're observing it, and it's kind of like a time capsule.
But usually on the bus, if I know where I'm going, I get very annoyed all the time at how many times it stops. And I'm like, if I went on my bicycle, I could do this route in about a third of the time. When you're on a bus journey and you don't know where you are, you're not so fussed. You just, because it stopped and it sat still and you don't really have a gauge of time. So that's one of the good things about catching, I think it was the 220 from Walthamstow to Wood Green. I think it was that bus. We got the 1-2-3 home. That was an eyebrow raiser as well.
Yeah, those buses, you've got to keep your eyes open on the buses, because on the tube, you know, you can follow the map and it's fine. But on the bus, you don't know where the stop is. There's not like every 100 meters there's a bus stop. There could be a bus stop in 20 meters, 500 meters. You've got to keep alert here.
Yeah, we got off at the wrong stop and we had to walk back. There you go. That tells you everything you need to know, listener.
It's bringing back memories of the good old N22, the night bus back from Piccadilly Circus. Those were days of exploration, I suppose, because I'd never experienced London at night before. And so this was, I felt like I was in a film going to these cool, trendy indie clubs. I can't even remember what they were called. Fabric was one called Fabric?
Metro Bar on Oxford Street, Candy Box, which was at the student union of like KCLSU. There was quite a few at the time, like the indie rock and roll heyday of like 2001, which was pretty much when we were at uni exploring. So yeah, the N22, I loved it when it showed up, but it would take forever. It would take I'd be waiting at the bus stop always for way longer than an hour, and then it would take about 2 hours to get back to Twickenham. But yeah, when it showed up, it was always like, yes.
You didn't know if it was going to show up. That's the worry, you know. You're there for so long, you think, am I trapped in London forever?
And the N91, which is the one that goes back to Cockfosters, same story. If you live in inner London, you can probably jump on a few different buses, but Cockfosters, there was literally only one. And then Twickenham, the same, although there was one that went to Kingston, and I did jump on that a few times, but that took even longer, though, I think. So, and then they went from different places. The one that went to Kingston went from Trafalgar Square, and the one that went to Twickenham went from Piccadilly. So it's not like you could spread bet and wait at the same bus stop. You had to walk all over central London.
Yeah.
You know, in your tired head. But you were probably like, oh, this is lovely. Oh, look at that. Oh, a juggler. Oh, someone trying to mug me. Oh, I'm having fun. Hi, Nana.
And for the younger listeners, this was before we had internet on our phones. This was before there was Uber or any kind of thing like that. I had an A to Z paper map in my bag that I carried with me to know where I was going. So, you know, it was hard. If you didn't have the bus, if you missed the bus, you'd have to walk home.
You just have to wait for the next one, because the idea of getting a taxi back then, like the bus was probably £1 or £2, and a taxi would be like 30, 40 maybe, and that's way more than, that's like my probably budget for the night was probably about £30.
Again, kids, that's inflation. So that was 20 years ago. So £30 then would probably be about £80 or £90 now if you compare it.
Really? If I went out now and spent £80 or £90 on a night, oh, I'd want a lot.
Better
for
be
my
a
money.
Good bloody night. But it was a good time. And the buses, there was a bit of fear on those buses as well, because there was some weird
Twickenham
on there.
Wimp.
To get to Twickenham, you've got to go towards, you know, all the other places I can't remember in London.
Putney, Surbiton. That's petrifying.
Oh, and Richmond.
Oh, that is, yeah, you don't want to get off there late at night.
But I think they went down Feltham and Hampton way.
No,
so
it
that's
did
a bit
not.
Rough.
Yeah. You've gone too far. The N22 does not go that far. I used to go to Fulwell, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it was heaven and hell, those buses, because you could get home, but you were trapped with scoundrels.
Actually, there was one that went to Feltham. Like, there's something number 9 that went to Heathrow. So when you lived out in Witten, maybe you got that one.
Possibly. My overriding memory of it is waking up the next morning and just my having complete acid heartburn, because you've got those hot dog stands next to the bus stops. And I used to get one of these hot dogs with the onions and stuff. There must have been so much fat on there. Like, it was just burning my entire esophagus the next day. Oh, yeah. And also nicking bread outside the newsagents, because it was daylight. It was about 4 or 5 by the time we got home. And there were, like, crates of bread outside and newspapers. And we just thought, they don't care. So we just get a batch and get a newspaper. That's not stealing, is it?
Nah, not when they've got loads. And it's Woolworths. You know, they're not going to go out of business, so it'll be fine.
Bilbo Baggins.
Looking back to what was coming up in the show today, we're also talking about your leg. You had some injuries on your leg and you didn't know if you were going to get some acupuncture on your ankle. Has that managed to improve in any way?
Well, the injuries got worse because I crashed my bike.
No, what happened?
I crashed my bike.
I crashed almost twice in the same day.
Was it your fault then? You're the common denominator. Surely it's you.
It would seem that way. The chain came off early in the morning and I fell onto the crossbar and had to like emergency stop. And it happened so quickly that I didn't even get the scared adrenaline bit, but I did get off and breathed. Collected myself and got back on again. So I was like a bit like, ow. And then later in the evening, just slipped on a sort of slippery road and fell off at a very low speed. And my ankle was killing the next day. I'm still quite injured right now. Like my knee, on my lower back. It took a few days to come out, and now I'm just, it's getting there, but it's been getting me down as well. It's been a week now. It happened last Tuesday. So, no, I haven't got acupuncture yet because I've got bigger fish to fry, okay?
Gym talk. Ooh.
I've been running 3 miles a day every single day since the 2nd of January. I managed to keep up, which I'm really pleased about. And in the end, I found it like a good routine. You know, you just don't think about it. You go for a run and it felt good. So in the end, I ran 90 miles and I've burnt off active calories, 11,100 active calories in January.
That's amazing. And then weight gain or loss, you were weighing in at?
I was weighing in at 92.6 kilograms.
And you got on scales this morning.
I did. So including the fitness, I've been eating a lot better and having a successful dry January. I've lost a stone down to 86 kilograms now.
A stone? That's amazing.
Yeah. Still a way to go, and I feel like the momentum is going in that way because I think it takes about 2 weeks before the exercise actually see the burning of the fat. So I think, I know I'm going to carry on in this respect, and it's going to just fall off. So yeah, I feel good. I feel really good.
I've done 19,000 active calories, and I've lost about a kilogram or two, maybe.
19,000 active kilograms for the month.
Active calories for the month. And then I've lost about a kg, maybe two, maybe 1.5. Depends what time or day I get on the scales and what I've done the day before.
I don't understand how you can do 19,000.
I know. It's because you live in a little cul-de-sac in a small town in a small county with lack of ambition. You know, if you lived here in the city, you would see how it's possible.
It would magically burn off the frustration and the hatred of living with another in a city.
Yeah. In a city living, mate, it's really good for your old heart palpitations when you're running because you're scared of the night bus. That's what it does to you.
I think you're putting your Apple Watch on a dog all day and then adding into your calories.
No, I try ride the bicycle a bit longer now. The ride in is about 40 minutes. So if I do it both ways and I track it, then that's it racks up. I just started looking through this whole monthly stats today, and it's only this month and last month that like 19,000 numbers up there. The rest are all like 10 and 11, like averages from last year. So I'm tracking more exercise, which is why I'm burning more according to the watch. But I guess just not as boom and bust as you. Like over Christmas, I definitely overeat a bit. But I don't overeat to the like degree of a stone, because that says to me, wow, listener, you know what it says. If you've ever put on a stone in your life, you're a stone heavier than you know, listener. I don't need to go into that because you've all got your own feelings about what a stone is for you. So if another person says they've lost a stone and they managed to put it on, then you can, you know. The PlayStation all day, eating a whole Toblerone, another hot dog, because one KFC. At the hot dog stand isn't enough, followed by a bargain bucket. Should we have one each? Yeah. Okay.
An extra gravy. Yeah.
But then you've been doing like half a Huel shake as well.
Yeah, I've been having half a Huel.
Sort of daft existence. What sort of joy can you get out of like... that level of just pain and suffering and one egg as a snack.
Yeah, well, this first month, as I said in the last podcast, January is a reboot. So I wanted to just go in beast mode, get it all done. Now I've done January, I can sort of ease in. I can sort of ease in a bit more of a long-term lifestyle choice. So I'm not going to run every day. I'm going to run every other day and then do weights in between there. And instead of having half a Huel, I'm having full Huel now. And it is thick and heavy and I can taste it.
Okay.
So I'm building myself back up and it's good. I feel great. I feel very creative and I feel like everything is going in the right direction. I've had a successful dry January. Did you have a successful dry January?
Yeah. For some reason, though, it just feels now like the burden and the weight on my shoulders is really extreme and there's no reason not to drink. But I'd like to see what I can do about that. I'm trying not to think about it, about the social occasions. I'm really trying not to think about the sort of emotions that I attach to alcohol. I'm just trying to push it to one side, because if I don't think about it, then it's fine. So, we'll see.
I was hoping to not drink as much in the future, but this weekend I'm going to a big house party.
Oh, yeah, where?
In the Cotswolds.
Oh, yeah, with who?
With Connor, Anya, Peter Joyce.
Oh, yeah, I know them lot.
Amanda. Going with them.
Where was my invite in this thing?
Connor was arranging it. So,
okay, fine.
Yeah. Connor was arranging it. It's out of my hands. It's out of my hands.
Have you got a Michelin star chef again?
No, we haven't got a Michelin star chef this time. Peter Jones is going to be doing something or other there.
I bet he is. Yeah.
I bought
loads of stuff, so come on, we're getting involved now. Come on, hurry up. I finished work at mid-morning, so come on, here we are. All right, there. Yeah, I got you some. Here you are.
Was that me or was that you? I think that was you, mate.
No. You don't seem like a pet person. Have you ever had a pet?
Yeah, we had cats before. We had Cleo, Fritz, and Sebastian were our cats. We had a dog called Holly. The mice, don't really. The gerbils, I don't really remember their name. Twitch and Charlie, I do. We had hamsters.
Wow.
We had a budgie, not really. And we had a. That's it. That's enough. And then I've just named the cat, the neighbor's cats, Jensen and Jake, after my youngest nephews, because you watch them and they're inquisitive and we've put a bird feeder up, so it's bringing them into the garden.
Oh,
but they're
nice.
They're not great at catching anything, so it's quite funny watching them just look at a squirrel and move way too slow to be able to catch it and just be really behind the hunting game. It's quite funny to watch them, and my nephews are quite young and a bit daft, so there you go, that's them.
So I was dead wrong then when I said you're not really a pet person, because you've had a ton of pets, it seems.
Yeah.
Are they when you were a child?
Yeah. When we were growing up, we had these various animals around.
Oh, because you were very nice around Kipper and some of the other boys. But I think you were quite good with Kipper, our cat that we had last. He died last year. It was very sad.
You can't not be nice to a cat. Some people that have annoying dogs, then they deserve to be annoyed back. Like, hold their beak shut when they're trying to bark and stuff.
What?
And really annoy them. Yeah, some dogs deserve it because they're such a pain in the... A cat never really... a cat, they don't really do in too much to wind you up, do they?
No. No, they only wind you up if you wind them up, really. And that's fair.
But they wouldn't, would they? They might try and swipe you if you brush their fur backwards or whatever. Like, that's the only time they ever really get annoyed, so...
You used to wind up Kipper a little bit for fun, didn't you?
I wind up any animal for fun, because it's fun. They're a pet, and they're meant to be your entertainment. And if that means pulling their tail a bit, then that's, you know, that's entertainment.
Yeah, well, he was a brilliant cat. And this roughly this time last year, or maybe... Yeah, roughly this time last year that he, sadly, we had to put him down because he had a bad growth on his nose, which was so traumatic. But the reason why I'm saying this is because in a couple of weeks' time, we are going to be picking up some new little kittens.
Oh, good. You've needed this for a while.
Yeah, we've missed having cats in the house. It's been kind of strange. I've grown up with cats and then I've lived with cats. And then this past year, it's been kind of strange not having any. But with all the building work involved, you know, now is probably the best time to not have one. But now we are going to get some kittens. I've never had kittens before, so I'm very excited to see how cute and little they are. And it's just going to be so lovely to have them in the house.
How
very
many?
Excited. Three. We're going to get siblings. Three. And we've looked on various websites, and they're quite expensive. I thought you could just pick them up for free, you know. But you have to pay like £100 per cat, even for like the domestic regular cats, you know. But... I don't mind. I'll pay whatever. I love cats.
Good for you. Okay, so by this time next month, we will have some other voices on the show.
Yeah.
Meowing and vying for some mic time. That'll be fun.
Yeah, we'll definitely let the listeners know what the cats... We'll post some pictures of the little kittens up, hopefully in time for the next show. So watch this space.
watch it and listen and get in touch. The show, you know who we are, so you can drop us a line. Hello to a loyal listener, Daniel Garvey, who enjoyed the last episode and said Owen Frost was very factual.
I don't know how to take that. Factual. Entertaining, well, and factual?
If you're listening to this show, Daniel Garvey, or yes, anyone else that we know, then you can picture Factual Frost in a brown corduroy jacket cardigan, a check shirt, brown, with then a burgundy stroke brown tie and a sort of pride lanyard from his school, yep, which he should have been bunking off today, but instead he went in. So there you go. He looks very factual.
I do, actually. That is a very fair representation of how I look. And hello again to all of our listeners. Thanks for listening, everyone. We really do appreciate it. And we do read every message that you send. You can get in contact with us at pressureandfrosty@gmail.com or on Twitter at @pressure_frosty. Get your messages in and we'll read you out on the show.
Well, who the hell are you?
I sent you a job yesterday. Did you apply for it?
I don't think it's going to be for me.
Why?
A couple of reasons. It needs 2 years of experience in the field.
We can bodge that. What else?
It's reliant on me being not flexible with work.
But you're available most Fridays, you could say to them.
Yeah, I'm available most Fridays. I haven't said yes or no yet.
Sounds like you're saying no.
I need to clear my mind. I've got a lot of things going on at the moment, so yeah. I just need to work out what's going on.
Can you bullet point some of those things and make them a bit snappy?
Oh, I'm trying.
Maybe this will help you then, because I thought I naturally thought that we might have a bit of a lull in the show, so I thought we could do quick fire with Owen to just spice things up. So I've made some quick fire questions and we just want some quick answers. Okay. Live or on demand?
On demand.
Measure or tip?
I don't know what that means.
Okay, fine, moving on. Tip or garden center?
Oh, tip.
Was that tip for both?
Yeah.
Garden or park?
Garden.
Car wash or jet wash?
I want a man to do it, so jet wash.
Okay.
Just top off if
correct,
possible.
There you go. We might revisit those a bit later in the show.
When the pressure gets too much, I cool down with Frosty.
Now, it's February and it is Valentine's Day coming up.
Oh,
now,
God.
Listeners from previous shows will understand our opinions on Valentine's Day. I'm a realist and Dave is a gullumphing buffoon who will just slap on anything. If it's a day, then it's content. He'll love it all.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you pay 20 quid for a rose. Oh, it's Valentine's. I'll pay 20 quid. It's for fun. It's experience. So we know all that. But what I'd like to know is, do the listeners, or do you have any embarrassing Valentine's Day stories when you were a teenager, when you were a child, when you were younger? Do you have any of these little stories? I've got not sort of necessarily big things that happen, but lots of little embarrassing things where a girl has given me a card and then I'm embarrassed by it and I keep it in my bag, and then the girl gives me another one and she gives me like a whole folder of these weird love notes. I didn't like the girl either. I was only like 10 or 11 and I kept them in my bag, but I didn't want to put them in the bin because then she would see me put them in the bin and she'd be sad. And so I didn't want to put them in the house bin at home because what if Liam, my older brother, or my father saw them, I'd die of embarrassment. So I ended up carrying this folder of weird love letters in my bag for like 9 months. And then one day I just ran to like a public bin and threw it all in. And it was a weight lifted off my chest. Swalk. Do you know swalk? Sealed with a loving kiss.
Swalk. Okay.
Swalk. They put lipstick on, they kiss the envelopes, you get the lipstick mark, and then they spray it with perfume. That's what they did in Wales anyway. Do you get that in Milton Keynes?
I've often put perfume in cards and things. Just that extra little touch, you know, to just give a bit of presence, of my presence to it as part of the present. Which leads me on to my Valentine's when, primary school, I gave Becky Locke some sort of necklace thing and was quite pleased with myself, was very nervous about giving it. And then she gave it back and was like, nah, sorry, Jim got me a box of chocolates and I like them more.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you don't want to. What was it in? Becky what?
Becky Locke.
You don't want Becky Locke if she's going to treat you like that. You know, she could have been grateful and said, no, sorry, somebody else. But say it like that. Throw it back in your face, man. She doesn't deserve you.
Yeah, she was like kind of the best at school. And we'd all, there was like a couple of girls. And then you'd sort of go out with them at different times. So I did go out with her quite a few times. And we would ask,
did you?
We would ask them like in class, be like, at lunchtime, can I kiss you? And then sometimes I'd say yeah, sometimes I'd say no.
What was the word you had for kiss? Was it kiss or did you have any different words?
I think it's just kiss. Yeah. Oh, Milton Keynes, it was called getting off. You got off with someone if you proper snogged to them. But that was for a bit later in life. That was a bit like mid-teens when you were getting off with people.
That's with tongues.
Yeah, and so like loads of dribble.
Yeah. We called it going with you.
Going. That's what they call it in Donnie Darko. But that's more of your going out with the person.
Ah, right. Yeah,
I think no, they say that in Ireland as well. I think that's a phrase. Will you go with me? Oh, sure, I'll go with you. Me? Yeah.
Oh, she's going with him.
Oh, yeah, she's going. Sort of she's going with Owen. I know. She wrote him about 50 messages. He tried to hide them. Look at this one. Oh, to my smoochy poochie. I love it when you run in your rugby shirt.
I wrote a Valentine's letter to another girl when I was about 8, and I was too scared to give it to her, so I put it on the side of my bed, and then one day, Liam, my brother, found it, and it was literally the worst thing in the world ever. It was so embarrassing. I think at that age, you're such a vulnerable state where you want to feel that kind of lovey-dovey thing, but also it's really embarrassing at the same time. It's a difficult time for kids, Valentine's Day. You feel forced, like you have to do something for it.
But then it makes people act and be emotional and a bit awkward, and that's good at any age. The younger, the better.
That's true. So if you've got any Valentine stories and you want to get involved in our March episode, you know how to get in contact. We'd love to hear your stories.
Gadget. News from a show with the pressure and Frosty.
It's time for this week's gadget news, and we're starting off our gadget news with bye-bye streaming on the go. Netflix has just locked you out if you leave your house. So starting from this week, Netflix is taking the term home devices quite literally for its password crackdown. It's been tempting, it's been teasing the past couple of months, saying that password sharing is being locked down. Well, this time they are actually doing it, and they're not just saying you can't share your password with somebody else. They're saying you literally can only watch Netflix at home on your TV. If you want to watch it on a mobile device, you have to pay about £5 extra per month to have that feature. So I think it's going to make a lot of people a little bit sad.
Yeah, I think this could backfire. A lot of the streaming platforms have been struggling anyway, and they're up a tier now for Netflix. It's like $15.99 a month, so it ain't cheap so much no more. And this sort of shareability of the content, I can understand, you know, but if they shut people out from their services, then... well, they can't watch TV no more. What if you have an IP blocker at home, though?
I don't know the ins and outs of it all.
A Chinese restaurant in the northwest of England has employed a robot waiter due to the staff shortages. The directors of the Chinese buffet unleashed BellaBot in each of their four restaurants in Liverpool, St. Helens, Bolton and Wigan to serve food to diners. They've blamed it on the lack of staff crisis, or whatever that's called. The robot retails for about $14,500, which is less than the cost of employing a waiter at minimum wage for 40 hours a week. So there you go. Yeah. Techno robot rock.
I'd love to be served by a robot.
Would you? Well, if you come to Wandsworth, to Gravity Southside, you can find a robot waiter there. To the Tea Terrace in Cobham in Surrey. To Robotazia in Milton Keynes, or then Ding Tai Fung in Covent Garden, or to Ping Pong Dim Sum in Bank in central London, where I went the other week.
Nice. Were you served by a rubbish human, though?
Yeah, I was. The guy that greeted us was lovely, and then we did have a few stinkers, and the robot was there doing its thing, and I was like, serve us.
And the greatest thing of having a robot to serve you is you don't need to tip them.
You are such.
We'll get to go.
Who gets you goat?
Well, because we're into that frame of mind, it's time for What Gets Your Goat? What gets your February goat? And I'll start us off this month. I've been running a lot more recently, and instead of listening to my running playlist, I usually listen to the radio in the mornings. It's a bit different. Radio 6 music I've quite enjoyed. But I found it feeling a bit fuddy-duddy, and sometimes the songs are a bit slow to run to. So I've started listening to Radio 1. And I've really enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed Radio 1. I don't mind the stupid presenters. They don't laugh. They're funny. They say stupid things. The music's really upbeat. There's a couple of tracks I don't like, but I don't like that on 6 Music either, but it's a bit more upbeat. So I've been listening to Radio 1 every day. And my goat is that Radio 1 is a terrible culprit of replaying the same A-list tracks or the same number one track. So you hear the same song every day or 5 times a day, repeating the same songs. So in the mornings, I only run for half an hour, but in that time, over the course of a week, I will hear the same 5 or 6 songs in that time, and it's infuriating. So now I've stopped listening to Radio 1.
What are you listening to now?
I haven't really found a solution to that problem yet. I've just got that Miley Cyrus song in my head.
Flowers, number one in the charts right now.
And the annoying thing is, when I first heard that song, I thought it was great. I thought the lyrics were clever, the whole thing, the whole melody. But now I hate it. I hate the songs. There's a few songs that they play. Like there's a new Kendrick Lamar song, Count Me Out or Count Me In. I like it, but I've heard it too many times. There's another song called 1035. I really like that, but now I hate it. So I'm discovering all these new songs and they've spoiled them for me. That gets my goat.
Tiësto and Tay McRae with 1035. Yeah. It's been in the charts for like 14 weeks. Peak position, number 12.
Yeah, it's a good song. It's a good song. And also that song with Charlie XX. That's a good song, but I'm sick to the teeth of that now.
Sheesh kebabs. Okay. I heard, I've got a song for you. And then, well, it's by an artist called Daphne. And this, the song's called like Cherry. And then the album's called Cherry as well. And it's just really upbeat electronica, no words in it at all. And I think you could run really fast to it.
That's my cup of tea. That's exactly what I'm after.
The album's called Cherry. The single's called Cherry. There's a new song out as well. Daphne, is a producer. I think is Caribou as well. Yeah, it's Dan someone or other. And he's also Caribou, but his other project's called Daphne. I think it's good to run to. 47 minutes and 49 seconds. That'll get you around the block, won't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I will get that on the go, definitely. I'm always looking for new music, as you know. So thank you very much.
Share you some of my playlists because I've got loads of like dance and electronic ones. And that might help you along the way.
Well, why don't we share that with the listeners? We can put that on the Twitter feed. So if you want to get some dance tunes up, we'll create a dance playlist, a running playlist for you.
Stay in contact with us, listener, and you will get treats throughout the year. Listening to the show is free to listen to on most sites, but you might have to pay on others. goat getting for me, my flipping phone. I just can't like use it quickly like I see other kids do. This guy the other day he used it to take... He used his watch to take a picture from his phone, and then when he airdropped me the pictures, he just like ran his finger along it and highlighted all the pictures at once and then just boshed them off to me. And I was like, flipping heck. And then when I go to use like Instagram, the pictures are always like really zoomed in, or I start doing these things. I'm like, no, I've had enough. I give up basically.
Well, that's why you like that. You don't give up. Just learn how to do it and then it's done.
Gmail on the phone. It just doesn't search. If I search in my inbox, I'll find whatever I'm looking for. Look on the phone and it's just like, nah, I'm not having it, mate. Not for you. Sorry, this is a young kid thing and you are not young.
I'm surprised that my friends, you included, who have such terrible knowledge of not even modern technology, just you don't know how to do things. Like you, Kenny... Owen, you're like old men when it comes to technology. I'm really surprised. You should know better than that.
I must have reached a peak and then it's like, nah, I don't want to go any further than this.
Look, I've got my Gmail open. At the very top bar says, search in mail. I've not even pressed a button. What are you doing?
It's listening to us right now, listener. It's listening to us, listening to you, listening to us, sir.
Old man David.
The pressure and frosty.
And
Rusty. What are you going to do in February then? What's the thing? If in January you're going to do fitness and you did all right with that, in Jan you weren't going to drink and you've done pretty good with that, what's happening to you in February?
So the big focus this February is, apart from maintaining and continuing to lose the fat, I'm going to be building muscle. I'm going to be working on the weights now. I'm going to be eating more food, more protein. I'm having protein shakes. That's why I'm getting loads of eggs now. And I'm going to not bulk up, but I'm just going to eat more protein, more calories while I do the weights.
There you go, listener. So when we weigh in next month, he might be back to 99 kilograms.
Let us know your embarrassing Valentine stories. Let us know how you're finding your fitness and get in contact with any goats or gadget news to pressureandfrosty@gmail.com. Or on Twitter at @pressure_frosty.
Or text OwenFrost on 07932681222. Well, my things for the month, not that you asked, but I wouldn't be surprised.
I was going to ask you.
I'm not surprised, is get back to proper fitness, because I'm like, my back's aching and stuff at the moment. So I need to continue doing like some rehab and roller work and probably a few more Nurofens, pills or therapy, both. Roller and a Nurofen, and then just motivate myself by just pushing myself more and putting myself into the mix and getting back on it, filming myself on my new camera, and exciting myself basically. That's what I want to do this month.
This sounds good. And you've got these ideas, you've got these plans. You're going to film. What are you going to film? Do you know yet what you're going to video?
I'm going to interview some bands, because that's kind of low-hanging fruit and it's just easy picking for me. So, and if that means researching some new and interesting and exciting music, then wahey, good for my head and for your playlist, listener.
Well, thanks a lot for staying with us and listening to our dribble and drabble and whatever else you call it. And take care. We'll see you in March. Bye-bye. Dave's doing them because I'm happy.
It's time to say goodbye. But there's no need to cry.
My favorite.
We'll be back again sometime.
Yeah.
The show with the Pressure and Frosty.
Right. And then that bombshell.